Amen. So thank you to Sharon. Say hi to her. And oh, we'll see her later. It's okay. All right. So I've got one slide today, I think. There it is. Surprise the world. Over the last few weeks, we've been looking at this, the ideas that are in this book. But the ideas that are in this book came from the ideas that are in this book in the Bible. So we've been looking at like the heart of God to make us kind of surprising people, people who others are curious about. Why are you living the way you do? Why do you bless other people the way you bless them? Why do you spend time like setting aside time to eat with other people and invite them into your home and or Timmy's or wherever it is you go? Why are you concerned about the hearts and lives of other people in the world? So we surprise the world by these five habits of blessing other people just in our daily walk. So these are habits. We've been doing this now for 6 weeks, and many of us have been reading the book and then thinking about this. So there may be some of you are thinking, oh man, I'm glad the 6 weeks are over because we're done with this. We don't have to do this anymore. But that's not the idea. The idea is that these become habits of our lives, that we're people who bless one another in all circumstances. We're people who try to find a special time to sit down and eat with others and get to know them more and have a chance to share about our life in Jesus when we can. We're people who really listen to the Holy Spirit and spend time in quietness listening to the prompting of the Holy Spirit and listen to other people who have the Holy Spirit. So as brothers and sisters in Christ, we sharpen and help one another. We're people who learn Jesus, not just learn more about him, but we saturate our thinking in what Jesus did, in what he taught us, in how he lived, so that we become more like him. And then last week, we're talking about the fact that we are a sent people. We're not called just to gather together like this in our little holy huddle. Yesterday, do you know what? Yesterday, I spent all day in the presence of Christians. It was lovely. It was wonderful. We went to Forest Cliff Camp, and we had a lunch there, and they did their grand opening of the camp because they haven't been able to open the last 2 years, right, because of COVID. So it was a wonderful time, and then we shared the afternoon with some Christian friends and had a meal together. It was a lovely time. But I was just feeling in the beauty and the wonder of all that, that's only half of what God has called us to do, to enjoy one another, which we do. God's also called us, we're sent out into the world to be his light and his salt in our communities. So anyway, those are some of the thoughts that we've been working over, that we're a sent people. And I wanted to read to you a passage of scripture. And then after I do this and make some comments on it, I'm going to be asking you for where you've seen God at work over this last little while. Your stories of how maybe you've stepped out of your comfort zone and talked with some other people or related or blessed some other people or eaten with other people or spent some special time listening to the Spirit or with Jesus. And just to share some of that stuff, we're going to have some stories before we're done here today. I'm looking at John chapter 17, and I wonder if you'd look there, please. John 17. This is Jesus' prayer for his church. So we're actually going to read a prayer that Jesus, the Son, is praying to God the Father. John 17, and I'm going to read from verses 13 to 19. So we're not looking at the whole prayer, just sort of a chunk as he concludes his prayer, Jesus. So I wonder if you'd stand up with me, please. We stand out of respect for the Word of God. This Word that God has given us, that we love and we listen to and we obey. So John 17, here we go, verse 13. Jesus is praying to God the Father. He says, I'm coming to you now. This is right near the end of his life, right? He's heading towards the cross. He says, I'm coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world so that they like my people may have the full measure of my joy within them. I'm just going to make a few little comments as we read through here. Jesus wants us to have joy. Did you sense any joy this morning in like our gathering here, our songs, our lifting our... Jesus wants us to have this kind of joy in our life. Jesus knows very well that life is not easy. He wants us to have joy in the midst of whatever we face as we walk with Jesus in the midst of everything. So he says, so that they may have, we might have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. We'll pause for a minute again. The extreme importance of God's word. Jesus says, okay, I'm going away, but I've given them your word. The people of the world aren't going to like this. The people of the world are going to resist the truth of God. Now, that's kind of hard for us. Jesus knows that it's difficult, but the extreme importance then of us being in the word of God that he has given us, right? For us to read this word, for us to soak in it, for us to understand the Lord more through his word. So, verse 15. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world. Now, some of us might have wished that just take me out of here right now. Sometimes, you know what? Even our talk about a rapture becomes escape theology. Do you know what I'm talking about? That Jesus is not ready to have us escape. He wants us to enter into the world, not to get out of the world. Does this make sense? So here's what he says. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. We're in the world. We're meant to be out in the world among other people, but that the Holy Spirit will protect us as we're in the midst of a world that resists the good news of Jesus. Verse 16, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world, so sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. To sanctify means to be set apart for God's purposes. It means that we're in the world, we're just humans, we're in bodies like everybody else, but we see ourselves as set apart for God's purposes in the world. Not just to do what everybody else does, but set apart for God's purposes. And among those purposes are the character of Jesus in us more and more. That's part of our sanctification. And then he says in 18, Father, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. As the Father sent Jesus into the world, and we looked at a John 20 last week where Jesus said it again, but as God sent Jesus into the world, he sends us out into the world to be his light out there. So thanks. You may be seated. This is a beautiful passage of Scripture. And as we live in the world and the Holy Spirit protects us and we become more and more like Jesus and shining for Jesus, the Lord sanctifies us and we live in curious ways so that people look at us and say, why are you blessing people like you do? Why do you go to church every Sunday? Why do you read your Bible? And we have an opportunity then to share about the life that Jesus has given us. So the challenge over this last little while is to live in ways so that it'll make other people curious about why we love the Lord, why we live the way we do, so that we are the light of Jesus Christ out into the world. So we've asked you then to think about some places and things where you have seen the Lord at work over the last little while in your life. And I've got a blue mic on this side, Adam. I'm going to ask Brian if you would hang on to this mic and go up and down the row when somebody volunteers what they want to say. And I'm going to take the red mic over here, and I'll go up and down this row when anybody, which I know you're going to do very shortly, by faith and not by sight. And so we'll just give you the mic, and you tell briefly, please, where have you seen God at work lately? How has the Lord been sort of challenging you with this whole business of us being sent out into the world, surprising the world? Have you seen God at work? Where have you seen him at work? Who'd like to start? Peter, right there. Brian?
Thanks. I met up with a friend of mine I hadn't seen for a while. He's a believer, but he was sharing with me that he's always, his experience in church has been, there's been a real paucity of really explicit biblical teaching. So he says, I feel like I don't really know much about the Bible. And so he said, well, how are you spending your time in retirement? He's recently retired too. And I said, oh, well, actually, I'm going to be speaking at my church on listening to God. And so he tuned in online, and I got an email from him the next day saying, oh, thanks very much, you know, really appreciated that. It's got me thinking about a lot of things. I've got a lot of questions. And so as I was typing my response, what occurred to me was, okay, invite him out for breakfast to talk about these things. And the other part of my brain said, oh, now don't be so pushy. So I needed a little bit of Brad Griggs fire to get myself going there. So I sent him, okay, well, why don't we meet for breakfast and we can talk about some of this stuff. And he got right back, that would be great. So fantastic. So, and then as I was getting ready for that, I also thought, get him a book. C.S. Lewis's Mere Christianity. A lot of you, I can tell by the head nods, know that book. It's a phenomenal book. So, okay. So I picked it up, and we met for breakfast. I said, oh, by the way, I got you. He said, oh, well, this, and so I told him a bit about what it's about, and he was really intrigued, and we had an amazing talk. He asked tons of questions about the Bible and about what this church believes, because he doesn't really have any experience with just an evangelical fellowship. So he's gone off to read that book. I'm rereading the book. It's been about 20 years since I've read it. And so I'm just really excited for what God is going to do next.
That's wonderful, Peter. Thank you. Hey, Peter, did you have a really brilliant, wonderful answer for every one of his questions?
Absolutely. I had no question.
Yeah, thank you. So for those of you online who couldn't hear all that, Peter said, no, didn't have an answer for a short and sweet. No, didn't have an answer for everything. But, you know, now here's an interesting thing, eh? We don't have the answer for everything. And that sort of makes us fear, whoa, I'm not going to say anything to anybody then because they'll ask me a question I don't know the answer. So what? None of us has all the answers to everything. But we can point to Jesus. He is the answer. So, and then, you know what? The Holy Spirit does his work. God does his work. And we're just meant to kind of surprise people and introduce them somehow and let God do his work. We don't ever save anybody, right? We don't ever save. The Holy Spirit does his work. So, okay, who else would like to share? Oh, this Brian, right beside you is a young lady. Yes, I think... maybe you know her. She's your daughter, Alyssa.
Morning, everyone. I'm just going to do it and get it over with, because I've been thinking about sharing ever since last week. So I did write some things down just so that I could articulate better. And if you see me lead on a Sunday, you might not think that this is totally out of my comfort zone. But I'm doing it anyway, because I believe the Holy Spirit has nudged me to share a little bit. So what I've been doing at my workplace, I do teach at Centennial Central, just down the Adelaide Street here, and he's placed me this year and last year in a new role that's challenged me in many ways. one of which is being more front and center with colleagues and students. My natural tendency is to hide from people. But I have had more opportunity for real conversations with people the last few months than I've had in several years, particularly two colleagues and one student. In all of those conversations, I felt God allow me to be someone who listens, who cares, and who encourages, to simply say, I get it. My supervisor was sharing her disappointments in how others were treating her and not understanding why they act unkindly or uncooperative. The first time she shared this, I told her something that my dad has told me in the past, which is, well, unfortunately, people will always let you down. And then I continued on trying to encourage her. I didn't have the boldness in that moment to finish the quote. But after last Sunday's sermon, I was challenged to go back to her and say, by the way, I didn't give you the second part of that quote. People will always disappoint you, but God never will. I told her that's what I've found to be true. And it doesn't seem like much, but even choosing to say the G word made me sweat. What if she looked at me differently, judged me to be one of those Christians, rolled her eyes? But then I also thought, what if she's waiting for someone to mention God? What if the Holy Spirit has more planned for this interaction than what I look like in her eyes? Well, her response was, your words are powerful to me because I respect you so much. Wow.
Yeah.
The second thing I just will quickly share is about an interaction with a grade 8 student. I didn't have a lot of interaction with her other than helping her register for her high school courses. But a couple months ago, we made a connection while I was outside on duty. I saw her seated alone and thought, I should probably at least say hi, how are you? Well, all I had to do was make that first move. And that has opened the door to many conversations. And what I believe is probably the only opportunity she has had in a long time to talk with someone about her struggles. She told me at the end of our conversation, I just like your vibe. You're so easy to talk to. She told me that this was the most she has ever talked with anyone, simply because I was willing to take the time to listen. Talk about the Lord sending me this opportunity on a silver platter. I didn't have to do much to get her to open up about real issues. I just continue to pray that the Holy Spirit would use our interactions to draw her to Jesus. I don't know when or how, but I do trust that God knows and is working out his plan. And I wanted to share this because it does encourage me, and I know hopefully it will you too, to know that God can use me in those quiet conversations, not necessarily shouting from the rooftops. He uses us in whatever way he wills. He's created us to be a certain way, in order to be able to use those strengths and weaknesses for his glory, and mostly those weaknesses. Oh Lord, help us to be confident in your power. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. That's why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness. And then in 1 Corinthians 2, Paul even says, as he writes to the church, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. These say it all. We don't share the love, peace, and power of Jesus on our own strength and wisdom, and thank the Lord for that. All we need to do is answer the call, follow through with that fleeting thought, understand that nudge from the Holy Spirit, and he will take it from there. Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Alyssa. Sometimes in the old days, we used to have testimony times when people would stand up and talk about what God had been doing and so on. And I think sometimes we might misunderstand those, that a testimony is about me and what I've done, and so look at me, and it's not that at all. All praise and thanks goes to God, because you listen to Alyssa and you're an introvert. There you go. That's what she's saying, right? I'm an introvert. But because she was listening to the Holy Spirit, the Lord prompted her to say a quiet word, not a big shouting from the housetop, but just being who she is, who God has made her to be. And that's lovely. So thank you. And all praise and honor goes to God, and he's the one who's at work in all these things. So, someone else. Yes, Linda. You're a double introvert?
I really am. I'm a behind-the-scenes kid. But Alyssa, you talked about this gal going to grade 9. Joan Ange's girl, Brooke, is in grade 11 next year. She's just been to Forest Cliff Camp with 75 kids from Medway that are going to be mentoring grade 9 kids.
Wow.
And she is amazing. She's worked at Forest Cliff. And if we could get those two kids together, part of your prayer is going to happen.
Really neat. The Lord at work, eh? Boy, now we're well represented on this side. I'm just thinking over here, folks. No pressure at all, but just, you know. Okay.
So I'm Wilson, for those of you who don't know. I'm one of the youth leaders here at CBC. So we're kind of starting up this junior high youth group. And so as leaders, we decided to give our testimonies to the youth so that they know us. And so I gave my testimony Friday. Like, this was 2 days ago, Friday. And I said, I love answering questions about, like, anything. I love giving a reason for my faith and defending my faith. And so we had 10 girls there, 9 girls there, and like 3 of them do not attend regularly. And these 3 girls and kids from CBC are like, okay, so what came first, the chicken or the egg? And like, does that matter? And where, like, how were humans created? How did God create humans? And there was we answered more questions than I shared my testimony. It was questions about like, is evolution true? Is like, if God created the world in 6 days, right, he created light first. He didn't create the sun first. On the 4th day, he created the sun. So there was plants that were alive for 24 hours that didn't have the sun. And that makes sense because it's just 24 hours. And so there was question after question. So it was so cool to see this environment of youth asking these really in-depth questions. And like when I didn't know answer, I could just pull the Bible off the shelf and preach from the Bible. I could share how, like, God actually loved them and how he cares for them and how he came and died for them. And that there were so many questions. So it is so cool, and I would encourage you guys to pray or keep praying for the youth of this generation. So, yeah.
Thanks, Wilson. Thanks for being willing to be there and for engaging in dialogue. And don't forget, it's okay to not have the answer to a question, right? Okay, we're pointing to Jesus. Jack.
Ruth and I, we moved into Thames Valley community, and I'm not an outgoing person, but you want me to face this way. Yeah. And anyways, Ruth being a nurse, I being a handyman, there's always people coming to the house about this thing or that thing, or want a stump cut off, or anything like that. And we have coffee time. Now, you might not know, I rode in the Christian Motorcycle Association. I have a vest, a little one with the Christian on it. And we were out having coffee one day, and the guy was saying, and then all of a sudden, he slipped a foul word come out, and he said, oh. I know you're a Christian. And other times it comes along and you say, oh, yeah, we know you're a church-going guy. Yeah. So we get a lot of people coming to the house and walking by. I like to sit out front and watch the world go by, and always yelling at somebody. So we're always getting opportunities. I'm not a preacher, but by action, showing action to people, loving them, giving a loving hand. Ruth is often, they're always coming with questions about this. We're at the other end than Wilson is. We're in the end going out. He's in the end coming in. Yeah. But anyways, you always get the opportunity just to be a person and show respect for the other people. Okay.
Beautiful, Jack. Thank you so much. Thank you. Here we are.
Good morning. Jerry Doney. I just had 3 things I wanted to say, how the Lord worked. I have a friend who wasn't a Christian, and it amazed me how God worked through this. But anyways, he would have nothing to do with it. And we were having a coffee one day, and he said, you know, I got to go in to the hospital next week for heart. And I said, oh, that's pretty serious. And so anyways, he was getting ready to go, and I said, when do you go in? And he said, Wednesday or whatever it was. And I said, well, you know, the heart's a pretty touchy thing, I said, and you're not ready. And that's all it was said. And he went into the hospital. I got a call on the phone, and he said, Jerry, I got to talk to you. So I went down to the hospital, and he came to know the Lord that day. Huh. And that was one of the most exciting things. The other thing is, I volunteered for the VON, and of course, you're not allowed to preach to anybody. But anyways, I work with people that have minor Alzheimer's. My sister died of Alzheimer's, so I have a soft spot for that. But anyway, it was an elderly lady, and she was kind of hard to get to know, and we had to all do it on the phone because of COVID. So anyways, one day I said to her, now I'm going to sing a song for you today. Oh, she said, that'd be great. Thank goodness she didn't know the notes too good. But anyways, so I sang to her, and she really liked music. So the next week, I sang to her again. And I said, now next week, I want you to sing to me. Oh, she said, I can't do that. I said, well, just think about it. So the next week come, and I said, well, have you got a song? She said, I don't know any songs. I said, well, I'm going to ask you again next week. So anyways, next week come, and we just got started talking about something, and she started singing Jesus Loved Me. and by the time I was through, she eventually moved to a senior home. And by the time I got through with her, one day she actually sang four songs. I said, how do you remember all those words? Well, she said, I don't know. But anyway, and the last thing I wanted to mention was last week was, or 2 weeks ago, when Daniela was up at the front. I got to know Daniela a few years ago and prayed for her every day ever since. And just to see her up there and going the way she's going, all I prayed was, Lord, that she would seek and follow the Lord's will all her life. And look at her whole family's following the Lord, and it's such an exciting thing to see. Mm.
Thanks, Jerry. You know, our prayers are so important, eh? And we've been thinking about, okay, I got five people on my list. You remember those pretty cards that we had a while back? Praying for those people, asking the Lord to do a work in their hearts to help them to come to the eternal life that Jesus has. So, okay, Brian, right back here. And then I've got one I want to read here. Somebody gave me. Thank you, Derek. No, go ahead.
Sorry, I thought you were going to read something.
After you.
My name is Derek. We have been attending CBC along with my wife Jeanette for only a number of months. So we're in the process of building new friendships. Last week we were invited by a couple to lunch. We were told that lunch was going to be in Elsa Craig. We had no idea where Elsa Craig was. We were told that we would meet in O'Leary's at about 12:15. So we thought, well, after we've had coffee and had a chat with hopefully some new friends, new friends that we were making, that we would hit Elsa Craig. Hopefully it's not too far away. So we went to the car, fired up the GPS, put in select town, Elsa Craig, I hope I spelt that right, Elsa Craig, search O'Leary. no match found. that wasn't quite what we were expecting. Plan B. In Ireland, we would spell it O apostrophe Leary. Maybe it's just O'Leary. Elsa Craig, search O'Leary. No match found. We're going to plan C. We are going to drive to Elsa Craig, wherever it is, and we're going to ask one of the locals, where is O'Leary's? So we're driving to Elsa Craig. It's a really complicated route to get there. And we were going to find a local. But when we were just on the edge of Elsa Craig, our hosts were standing by the side of their car, the side of the road. Oh, so we pulled in. Wound down my window and they said, we got the restaurant wrong. It's not O'Leary's. It's Crown and Turtle.
Well, that's pretty close.
Well, I can understand the confusion between the two. We went into the restaurant. We were fed water, which we asked for, and these menus, they're about 2 feet long by 1 foot wide. And we started talking, and our server said, you're ready to order? No, we're still talking. We're not ready to order. I'll come back, no rush. I think I lost count, but she came back about 3 times before we decided we better stop talking and order. What I'm saying is I'm flipping the coin because Jeanette and I, through our married life, have always attempted to bless people with hospitality and friendship. Now we were being blessed in a new environment, trying to make new friends. We started talking. We talked about how we met our spouses, what path we took to come to the Lord, how we found serving the Lord in our respective churches, what we had done since then in missions trips and Sunday schools and all that kind of stuff. And over about an hour and a half plus, the conversation never waned. I say that as a flip side of the coin, not blessing people, but saying that if we in CBC bless each other even a shadow of what we were blessed last Sunday, and if we do that in our respective communities where we live, it will be of no doubt that God will be glorified. As a PS, postscript, I did find that O'Leary is in St. Mary. Actually, it's very poetic. If I could figure an Irish band, I'm sure they could do a song. I ate an O'Leary in St. Mary.
Thank you, Derek. Now, I know there are more stories to be told here. I know that because I've heard some. I know my wife has one. And I'm sure that Ruth is extremely relieved that she doesn't that our time is up and she doesn't have to share it because she's more of a back row person. And I always drag her up to the front every week. So, Ruth, I love you, my dear. You're good. You're really good. So, but I know there are others. And here's one that I just want to read, and this will conclude us, and then we'll come back to worship the Lord a bit. This is from Mary Smith, and she sent me 2 pages. to read. I'm not going to read 2 pages. I'm going to read you one event here of where she's seen God at work over the last little bit. She said this, by the way, they're preaching in Nairn today at the Nairn Mennonite Church, so that's why they're not here. So Mary, I was meeting a friend for coffee at McDonald's right after Easter. We were talking about making disciples when a little boy came up and asked for $1. Why do you want $1? He wanted to buy a cookie. So Mary was with a Korean friend, and this Korean person saw the expensive headphones that this kid had and brushed them off and told him to go home and ask his mom. And so Mary said, I didn't have $1, but I told him I would get him a cookie, But first I asked if he understood what last weekend was about, Good Friday and Easter. He didn't really, so I very quickly shared about Jesus dying and rising again so we could be friends and be forgiven for all the wrong stuff we've done. He told me about his grandpa doing his prayers and Hail Marys every day, and I got excited and told him we can actually talk directly to Jesus because he's still alive and he wants us to know him. Then I went and bought him 2 cookies and told him Jesus really loves him. Jesus said we are to give to the one who asks us, and I wanted to model the generosity of our great God. I'm learning to look for opportunities through listening and caring for people. That's the kind of stuff we've been talking about, just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Is there some way, like, is this an accident? Or is it like God is present here and he has something for us to say to encourage and to bless other people? We want to be people who are blessers, right? Blessing others. And as Derek has said, it's really wonderful to be blessed too. It's a wonderful blessing. And this giving and receiving is really a wonderful thing. So I want us to pause for a minute and thank the Lord. It's just 11 o'clock now, and we're going to worship the Lord in song, and then we're going to be on our way. So, Sharon, we thanked the Lord for you earlier. We're still thankful even now. And thank you for your many years of service, and we're going to be glad to eat hamburgers and celebrate you. Or if it's sausages, maybe, I think, today. Thank you. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fact that you sent Jesus into this world to look for us, to search for us, to do something so huge and so amazing on that cross because you love us. And you were looking to adopt us into your family. You were looking to make us your friends. You were looking to put your Holy Spirit in us and begin to change us, to help us to become more like Jesus, to be people sent out into the world with your love and with your truth, to encourage and help other people wherever we are, and to point to Jesus with our life and our words. Lord, we want to do this better and better. We really want to do this better and better. Would you help us, please, through your Holy Spirit, to bless other people freely, generously, to make time to be with people over a cup of coffee or some food or something and get to know them and share about Jesus, to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit as you prompt us, Lord, to learn Jesus to be more like Jesus, and to see ourselves as people sent out into the world. So help us to be people like this now and forevermore, Lord, your people in the world honoring you. So thank you for this time. Thank you for these beautiful stories of what you've been doing. Thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and you continue to do your work. So we give you praise and thank you for this time today in Jesus' name. Amen.